This message this week, we are in Jonah, as you just heard, for an interesting message. This is one of our series on 10. We just got to see, and this prophet, he's a little different. You know, he preaches a sermon, and he gets really good response, and he hates it. You know, what an interesting story. So kids, do any of you know the story of Jonah? Does any of you, could you raise your hand if you know the story of Jonah? Does anyone know the story of Jonah? Okay, I see a few hands. What happens in the book of Jonah? Do you remember? God says, hey, go to Nineveh. I want to tell them a message. They need to turn from their sin. And then he goes the other way, right? He starts going to this other city. He gets on a boat, and what happens? What comes to this boat? Do you remember? Can anyone yell it out? Yeah, there's a fish. There's a storm that comes. And all of a sudden, these sailors realize, oh, Jonah's the issue of this storm. And they throw him overboard. And what happens? He gets swallowed by a fish. That is right. So he gets swallowed by this fish. And then what happens? Do you remember what happens after he gets swallowed by the fish? Yeah, he does. So the fish gets Jonah, brings him all the way to the coast. And it says kind of a funny thing in the Bible that the fish vomited him out of his mouth. So Jonah gets put on the shore and he goes to Nineveh. That is a crazy story, isn't it? We're going to see the life of Jonah this week, a few things. The story of Jonah is our story. It's sadly a story of hypocrisy, but God is bigger. We're going to see God saves Jonah, God saves Nineveh, and God saves us. We're going to get this incredible story this week. About God's steadfast love. He loves people that are really do wrong things. Jonah was kind of mean. We're going to see in the story that Jonah wasn't the nicest person. You know who else wasn't too nice? Was the whole Assyrian Empire, which is where Nineveh was. But we're going to see that God's love saved all of them. And that's an amazing story. So what I want everyone in this room to hear today, more than anything, it's the deepest theological truth on this planet. God loves you. That is what we are going to see today. God loves you. It is the deepest, richest theological truth that God gives us. He loves us. Let me pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you that you love us. God, thank you that you send storms into our life. Thank you that you send wells and large fish into our lives. And you redirect us. And you just over and over and over in our life, you show your incredible long-suffering nature, your patience towards us. That just highlights that you are the God of steadfast love. God, would you help us see in this message what you want us to see? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, the story of Jonah is a really strange one. I mean, if we're really honest, it's a really strange story. It's right smack dab in the middle of the book of prophets. There's all these prophets, and in all those small books, it's called the book of 12 in Hebrew, all these prophets have a message. They all have these sermons, basically, that they're giving the people of Israel. And it's all about repentance. It's saying, hey, people of Israel, stop your evil and turn back to God, especially in relation to how they're treating the poor, the widows, the vulnerable. I mean, it is just over and over. And weirdly, right smack dab in the middle of this, the book of 12, and they're all prophets, is a story about Jonah. And it's very interesting because this story is not like the other 12 or 11 books. It's not a message. It's actually a story of a prophet. It's not words from a prophet. The words that we see him preach in this passage are only 5 words in Hebrew. There's only 5 words in Hebrew that when he preaches the gospel or his message to the Ninevites, we get to say he only says 5 words. It's really a story of this prophet. We get to see his life. And what we get to see is he's a really strange guy. Even before this book, we actually get to see him in the book of Kings. He actually teams up with one of the most evil kings in Israel's history. And he prophesies in a good way over this king, Jeroboam. One of God's like good prophets comes in and prophesies against Jonah and says, no, your armies are gonna, the Israel armies are gonna be defeated because of how evil you are. So all we know about this guy before you even get into the story is Jonah's not a nice guy. He's not a nice guy. God comes to him in this book, like we, like our kids already told us, gives him a mission. Go to Nineveh, go to the center of where your enemies live, the Assyrian Empire. He does not want to go. He goes down to the docks, goes down to the port, and he says, take me to Tarshish. And if you don't know anything about the geography, just know this. Nineveh was east, and Tarshish was literally the farthest place west in the known world at this time. If you know anything about Spain, it's like right at the tip, down near the Mediterranean on the left coast or the west coast of Spain. I mean, it is like as west as you could go. Jonah's running away. He does not want to give this message to the Ninevites. Is that nice? Is that kind? No. God told him to go somewhere, and he goes a different way. In chapter 2, or actually it's still in chapter 1, we actually get to see the sailors who would not be believers act more like believers than Jonah does. I mean, this story is filled with irony. If you know literature, if you love reading, irony is used in this story all throughout it. The very people that should be repenting, like Jonah and the prophet of God, they don't. And the very people that you think are non-believers, they do. The sailors show up, the storm comes up, and they know this storm is from God. It's very clear. If you read the story, they're like, this is different. They actually start casting lots, and they cast a lot, and they realize it's that guy Jonah. It's his fault. They bring him up, and you know what Jonah says? I don't want to go to these people so bad. Just kill me. To make this storm stop, I'm not even going to jump overboard. I'll make you throw me overboard. They don't even want to do this. They do not want to throw him overboard. They're like better people. They're like, we don't want to do that. We don't want to throw you overboard. And actually, even he finally says, look, we're all going to die if you don't do this. They, as they're throwing him overboard, they're repenting. They're like, God, please don't put this man's blood on our hands. Isn't it weird? And the storm stops. And you know what happens? These sailors, they worship God. They worship God. And you're like, the prophet is running away. And these people, these sailors now, they've repented. Then, kids, you helped me. He goes into the water and the fish gets him, right? He goes into the belly and Jonah prays. And he's thankful that God has saved him. God saved his life, and it's a pretty amazing prayer. And he says, okay, God, I'll go. So the fish bits him up on dry land, and he starts this journey. It's a long journey. And once he even gets to Nineveh, the narrator tells us the length of time it is going to take Jonah to get across the city, to walk it. Seems like it was probably like Houston, you know, some super huge like city. It takes 3 days to walk across, it says. And Jonah, again, he's given this message. The word of God comes to him again. This grace comes to him and says, hey, go preach. Tell them to repent of their sins. He goes, and he just walks 1 day into the city. And in the Hebrew, it is strange. He only gives them 5 words. 5 Hebrew words is what he gives them. And this is what those words translate to, and you heard it read in our reading this morning. He tells them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So God's prophet doesn't even tell them about God. He just says, hey, 40 days, you're done. And here comes the irony. You know what happens? They repent. These evil people, these people that are like violent against all these countries on the face of the planet at the time, the Assyrians were the world power at this time. They were their empire and their military techniques. If you ever get to read, go on Wikipedia, read about the Assyrian Empire. It's pretty amazing. They're like, they have miners that would dig under people's walls. They're the first army that brought a corps of engineers everywhere they went. So they always had these insane kind of military adventures, and they were ruthless. So they're a very violent people, but we see in this text, 5 words get spoken, and strangely, they repent, they believe. Even the king tells even the beast, the cows, to fast. The king orders everyone in the whole empire, including livestock, to fast. Again, what irony in this story. And what happens when they repent? And what happens when God is kind? What was the response? You heard the response here. What does Jonah do after God relents from bringing calamity? Jonah hates it. He hates it. And he even tells you why he was running. He said, God, you and I had a talk. You and I had a talk. It's amazing what he says in chapter 4. Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. And then what does he ask God? He's praying, take my life. Just kill me. How is this prophet in the Bible? Like, what is going on here? God tells you to go somewhere, and you're like, I don't want to go. I'm fleeing this thing. He sends a storm. He sends a well. He sends you to a city. Your message bears fruit. You only preached 5 words. The message bears fruit. And you hate God for it. Do you see the weird? Why is this here? What is this doing? Why are we in a series on advancing the gospel? What could be learned from Jonah? There's a lot. Hatred will kill your soul. God wants, he's doing something that's so amazing here. This book is like a mirror to our own souls. There are people that we don't like. And there are some questions. This book ends on a question in chapter 4. We ended our reading in chapter 4 where God says, do you do well to be angry? What if God sent you to your enemies? What would that look like? God is going to work in Jonah's life. He's going to work in Nineveh's life. He's going to work in the king of Nineveh's life. And it is amazing to see what happens. There's a few things that we need to know from the story of Jonah, and I think it applies to all of us. One is God gives every single person a mission. God gives Jonah a mission, and we see throughout Scripture, God gives his people missions. Jonah's mission is very different than you and I's mission. But I know you have a mission, and God's mission is so clear to you and I. It may not be specific in your life, but I'll tell you, Scripture's so clear. The mission of a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, for those of us in this room that have followed Jesus and made the confession that he is our Savior, our mission is to love God and love others and to go make disciples. That is our mission. We each are given a mission. Jonah is given a mission. It's a very specific one. That's the first thing we see in this is we are all given missions. One important thing in this story is what the story of Jonah shows us about not just Jonah, but about God. Did God need Jonah? Did he need a powerful sermon? No. It is amazing. This is a story of God's salvation. The story of Jonah shows us how God will do as he wishes. God will do as he pleases. And he had set his mind on loving Nineveh. And strangely, weirdly, we're going to see loving a prophet who is just a bad person. He was going to walk him through some racism. He was going to walk him through hatred in Jonah's heart. He was going to walk Nineveh through those things. Got one thing we learn in this is God saves sinners. He saves. He saves the sellers in this passage. He saves the king. He saves the people of Nineveh. He saves Jonah from the water. I mean, you just get, this is a story about God and his work. How do we advance the gospel? How do we do it? How do we make his kingdom known? By the power of God. I mean, it just goes out. We could be actively working against God's plan. And let me tell you this, the gospel and his kingdom will not stop. The gates of hell cannot stop against the church. Jonah couldn't stop it. Nineveh couldn't stop God. God was going to show his mercy, his compassion, his love to these people. What an amazing reality that is for us. And I know I have had conversations with you. You guys are not like Jonah's. You're not running away. You guys are asking me, like, what are we doing? Where are we going? How are we serving? What could God do with those people? I mean, God is using Jonah. A lot of us, though, to be honest, we've been given a mission and we're more like Jonah than we want to think. Are you on mission? Are you loving God, loving others, and making disciples? Or are you going to Tarshish? This is the second thing we see. God saves those people that are actively rebelling. The second thing is God uses storms and wells. Here's what this means. God uses everything in life to work in us and to save others. God uses storms and wells. I mean, this is amazing. The story, Jonah goes off and he's in the sea and God just sends a storm. You can't beat me. You can't outdo me. I am going to show grace to who I want to show grace to. And I'm going to do it through you, Jonah. Like, I've set my sight on you, Jonah. He uses storms. And think of that. When Jonah's going under the water, what does Jonah think? It's done. All is hopeless. There are parts of our life where it's like, all is hopeless. It's done. I'm done. I can't do it. This story shows us God sends a supernatural well, a fish, and he does the impossible. He uses everything. He uses our life. Last week in Ruth, we saw that God uses suffering in our life. God uses everything in us to form us and to send us out on his mission. God uses everything. What a reality. God's kingdom will not be stopped. I always forget how to say her name, but it's like Madeline Lettengel. Do you know that author? Did I say it right? Say it, Kara. I don't know how you say her last name. Lingle. Lingle. See, I don't know how to say it. She writes, she has this children's poems of Old Testament stories. And in it, the Jonah story is a conversation between the well and Jonah. And the well is even telling Jonah, I'm not sure why God would use you. Like, why would God use you, Jonah? Like, you wouldn't have been my choice. But it's an interesting thing. What the well says is, I know God can use me, though, too. So why not use you? God uses a donkey in Balaam's life. He uses a well here. I'm telling you, there are things, people, there's stuff going on in your life now that you need to listen to. You need to see if some things are speaking, if God is speaking to you through anything. He will use everything to advance his gospel. The final thing that we learn from Jonah's life is God's grace is so much greater than we can imagine. The message that God had told Jonah to deliver the Ninevites was of repentance. He was going to come to the city and say, your sin is great against me. Whenever a message of grace comes, there has to be a recognition of sin. There has to. Jonah is going to be coming to this city and say, basically, your sin is in front of God, and it is an offense. And if you do not repent, you will be overturned. But think also of Jonah's sin. Everyone in this passage has such great sin. And that's a reality that we can know in our own lives. Our sin is great. But the message of Jonah is his grace is so much greater. While we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. His grace is so much greater than we can imagine. I cannot imagine being in Jonah's shoes. This empire that has killed and killed his people, that has killed other nations, made them subjects of their kingdom, that he's supposed to go preach to them, that is challenging. God is going to show him something of grace. But the crazy thing is we get to see, you know who needs it a lot? Jonah himself does. Not just the Ninevites. It's not just the Ninevites that need grace. Jonah needs grace. God's people need grace. In us, there are parts of us that are more like Jonah than we want to admit. And what I need you to hear this morning is not only look at how kind God was to Nineveh, think of how kind God was to Jonah. He sent a whale. He still used him to call a country to repentance. At the end of the book, all we know is hate is boiling in Jonah's body. He hates what's happened. He hates that God saved those people. And the only thing I can tell you from my reading of this is God's going to be patient with Jonah too. He's going to walk him through life because his grace is so much greater than our sin. Here's what this means. It means that Jesus Christ is stronger than all of our sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus took all of that on himself. The sins of the world were placed on him. And on his cross, he paid for all of our sins to show us how much he loved us and to show us the glory of God's grace. I mean, this is a story of glorious grace. Grace that goes to the most violent empire imaginable. Grace that goes to the worst prophet that's ever existed, as far as I know. Here's what that means. Grace can come to me. And grace can come to you. Isn't that an awesome story? The gospel advances because God just wants it to advance. He just wants grace to go out, and he will use people that are actively trying to stop the gospel message to advance it. Every single thing in this planet, God will use for his glory and his gospel of grace to go forward. Everything will be used. This message is not so much about Jonah as it is about God. God is greater. God's kingdom will not be stopped. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we are praying for an unstoppable thing to happen. It will come. His kingdom is coming, and we pray that he would use us. How can we apply this? How can we apply this message? One, would you take some time to really evaluate where you are in life? Are you on mission? That's one thing I would just get you to ask. Apply this. Are you on mission? God has placed you in your work, in your home, your neighborhood on purpose. Are you like Jonah? Or not? That's one application of this message. Two, what do you believe about God? The reason I ask this question is, isn't it interesting when Jonah in chapter 4 says, I knew you were this type of God. You are a gracious God. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to save these people. Here's the crazy thing about that is, I want you to actually believe that too. I want you to believe the right thing about God. Too many of us think that God is just against everyone. He's not for us. What do you believe about God? That is so important. Do you think he's intrinsically for everyone, or do you think he's intrinsically against everyone? I hope, weirdly, you have the same belief as Jonah. that you know, man, I knew you were going to show grace to my enemies. That stinks. At least you know that about God, okay? But what do you believe about God? And this is so important because so many of us are so critical. We're so self-critical. We have guilt and shame that's put on top of us. Let me just invite you to Jonah's world, the God of just great grace. Jonah says it. You are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Would you believe that about God? And then finally, this is going to sound like a weird one, but I think an application is get involved in one of the groups of our church. It is important for Jonas to have an outlet to say, man, this is where my heart really is. I'm in not a great place. This is what I need. Our groups are designed to be places where we can get vulnerable with other people, that we can say, here's what's going on in my life. Here's what I'm working through. I think this story shows us, don't do ministry alone. Don't be here in this church alone. You are made for community, and you need God's grace, and one form of grace he puts into our lives is community. If you're not plugged in, I would love to invite you to get plugged in to one of the groups in our church. God loves us. That is what this story is all about, God's great love to us. Let me pray for us. God, you have loved us with a steadfast love that is just amazing. It has been constant. And God, we ask, would you reveal your grace to us in such a good way, kind way? God, would you, like the prophet, though, highlight where we are in sin? God, would you show us the areas where we need to repent and turn and trust in you? God, your kindness is just amazing. Would you help us see it? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.